stories, and then I'll tell you which team you're on, which story you're going to argue in favor of. Julie Schwartz, Becky, Julie Wagner, and Marie. Okay. So what we've got today is our voices will be recorded for posterity. This study, and I think there's a website in case you're interested. I was given a handout. It says brief description history of MICASE, M-I-C-A-S-E, which is the name of this project. It's part of the English Language Institute here at the university. It began in 97, and it's a research project to answer such questions as: what are the characteristics of contemporary academic speech? Its grammar, its vocabulary, its fluencies, and disfluencies. Do these characteristics change as academic experience increases, all the way from entering freshman to senior faculty? And the website address is at the top here. It's www.lsa.umich.edu/ELI, which I guess is English Language Institute, /MICASE, M-I-C-A-S-E, /history.html. Are you with the project? Is that where they should go to learn more about it? Or?
Yeah, to learn more about it. And then there are also online searchable transcripts. This transcript will probably be up on the web in 6 months. It's about how long it takes because it goes through the revisions.
But not the actual audio, right?
Not the audio, no.
Will the audio ever be posted?
They're thinking about using that in the future, but right now they're unable to do it.
It'd be fun to hear our voices. Maybe not. Who knows? Anyway, so that's one thing. Dennis and Laura have things that they were going to get to. We ran out of time last time. We have our reading on photojournalism and doing ethics. You've got reports on photos. And I'll give you a new assignment. And we'll do a role-playing game based on the handout for today. And then on Monday, we finish doing ethics. And I will, at that time, I'll talk about Tailwind so that for the next assignment, a week from today, you'll know what to look for, because there's a lot to look at in the Tailwind disaster at CNN. Okay, so let's start out with what we ran out of time on last time.
This was an article in People that we talked about, I guess it was 2 weeks ago now, about when we read about the little 2-year-old who was murdered by 2 10-year-old boys in England, and I passed it around, and I highlighted some things with my pen that were the interesting parts, like On January 8th of this year, a London High Court judge ruled that Jamie's killer is both 18 and eligible to be released now, be given new identities and anonymity for life to protect them from reprisals and the ferocity of Britain's tabloids. And, you know, they've only been in jail for 8 years, but the justice described the two as genuinely extremely remorseful and say that no further detention would serve any purpose. So it's kind of interesting. Then there's a long thing about, you know, what other people think about it and what they've been doing in the past 8 years, these two kids, and how they're going to try and make their debut back into society, so to speak. So it's, I mean, it's kind of scary, and it's interesting why somebody would rule that they should be allowed to be given anonymity, you know, because the issue is, I guess, that they were 10 years old when they did this, and they should be given a chance at another life. And then the argument is that it was such a horrible crime that, you know, why should you protect these two kids? And
this is anonymity in terms of their name, right?
Right.
How about their images, their faces?
They show.
The newspapers take pictures and publish the photograph without the name, or is that not in the judge's ruling?
It didn't say,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, it shows a picture of them when they were 10, and so I guess if you're like, if they look. I don't know about you, but I look exactly the same as when I did when I was little. So it'd be really easy.
I have less hair than
that. Was the initial sentence longer than 8 years?
Yeah, the initial sentence was for 15 years of detention.
Okay.
But they switched it to 8 years, so just until they're 18. And yeah, so it doesn't, I mean, I guess they don't even, I don't even think the papers know what these boys look like now.
Mm.
And so there's a chance that they look nothing alike and that they'll live the rest of their lives in anonymity, or there's a chance that maybe people will figure it out. And I don't. It doesn't really say what the papers are allowed and not allowed to do. It just says that.
Because wherever they're living, you know, let's say they're living in some town somewhere in England, once you publish the photograph, anybody in the town sees that person on the street is going to know who they are.
Right.
Then you might as well publish their name because it then becomes public knowledge.
Yeah, I don't think that they've been, press has been granted access to them, so I don't know if people know.
I didn't know whether the judge specified image as well as name.
It doesn't say in here, unfortunately. Mm. But, and then also, I couldn't find another picture, so I chose this one, so I'm just going to say it right now. But this is an interesting picture to publish because it's a picture of one of the boys leading the two-year-old out of the mall, which is obviously kind of scary because you see this, what, normally looking two kids walking hand in hand down a mall, and you don't realize that like one of these is about to commit like really a bad murder, and so it's really kind of a scary picture and interesting to print. So,
was that picture staged?
This? No, this is from a mall security camera.
Oh, it's from a camera.
This is real.
Oh, security camera. Okay.
Yeah, it a mall camera caught one of his killers leading him away.
Okay.
Anybody happen to watch Nightline last night? They mentioned that photograph last night. They did a story about privacy in England and hidden cameras. In fact, police want to have cameras posted all over the place.
Yeah, I'll pass this around.
Remember how at the Super Bowl people were surprised to hear that everyone who attended the Super Bowl had their photograph taken by police?
Mm-hmm.
So in England they want to do that on a constant basis, have cameras everywhere. And this piece last night on Nightline specifically mentioned that photograph. It's an example of police saying there's value to having
right. Big brother.
Yeah. Good. Well, thanks for that. Dennis? Now, did everybody still have the handout from last time?
No. Nope.
Do you have an extra copy?
Photo essays, do they fall on the same topic as regular photojournalism?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're similar to feature. You know, they're the photo equivalent of a feature print story. Feature text. So they can be more atmospheric than a hard news photo. Okay, Dennis?
The article that I found over the weekend was about the American Society of Newspaper Editors with support of some society of professional journalists trying to get copies of the autopsy photos of race car driver Dale Earnhardt's body after he was killed in a stock car race at the Daytona 500. Part of the background of the story is the other article that I passed out, which talks about Tracy Earnhardt's reaction just a few days after the race, where she said that she wanted the medical examiner's records to remain confidential. Of course, there's the aspect of informal journalism, of public harm, of course, granting public access to autopsy photographs. It turns out that Florida has a pretty liberal law regarding autopsy photographs, but they're not part of the active criminal investigation, so therefore the newspaper editors collectively are going after these documents. The reason is that they wanted hired an independent investigator to determine if there was another reason why he died. During his car crash, there was a reason that was contrary to the official finding. I should also note, as a sidebar to these stories, is that it became also published, or became known, that Bill Earnhardt's car, there was a question regarding the safety or the whether he was actually wearing an intact safety belt, which would have restrained him. Now, obviously, if you're going 200 miles an hour in a stock car race and you slam into the wall, you know, the odds are heavily against you. But anyway, the NSC...
Can I ask you a question?
Sure, go ahead.
What are the unanswered questions in his case? Because, I mean, surely the cause of death is pretty clear, isn't it? What questions are there left to ask?
Well, apparently, the newspaper editors... I guess two, as far as I can see. One is the access of the pictures in order to determine an independent investigation. Since they were newspaper editors, they felt that under Florida law they had a right to actually get a copy of them. And evidently they, as I said before, as a news organization, they've gotten support of SBJ and other newspaper editors, so it's not exactly... Like they're making some kind of maverick contention here. And the other aspect, of course, is the fact that what is to be determined by actually having it? What is the worthwhile plus side? What are the implications of actually having a third party investigator look at another possible cause of death?
Is there any possible cause of death? I mean, if you've seen, I saw it on TV. So you see him just crash. I mean, and he was one of the top race car drivers, right? And so,
I mean, obviously, his death was caused by the crash, so that's not the question. The question is, what aspect of the crash specifically caused the death?
There were a lot of questions about the type of restraints.
What happened to him at the moment of impact?
Yeah.
Which part of his body made contact?
Like, should NASCAR change their rules about safety precautions? Mm-hmm. Is, I think, one of the big issues. Because, like, if he was using the safety precautions they have right now and he died, maybe they should up the safety precautions.
Right.
So.
I just remember one more thing. Part of the other controversy, quote unquote, is the fact that NASCAR is under some heat right now because this is the fourth race car driver to die in the last 9 months. So there's the suspicion and there's the perception that safety measures aren't exactly up to snuff here.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps being lax. Right, and as a new story, I think these editors or photo people are actually looking at this information as possible. Information that they'd like to impart to the public.
One of the questions that they were that I know that independent sources want to find out is there's a different helmet that you can wear. Dale Earnhardt was vehemently against that helmet. He wore the open face helmet, and there's another helmet that has the closed face helmet. And apparently, he died of head injuries. Mm. So they were wondering if he had worn the closed face helmet, if that would have possibly helped him.
Mm.
And that's what. Independent sources wanted to check into after the autopsy was released.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think the newspaper should be granted access to the photos because, basically we live in a morbid society. So if one newspaper has them, even if they don't publish them, it's going to get out beyond the net or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so people are going to go see it. And I think that is a gross invasion of privacy to have your pictures of it.
They said explicitly, though, that's not their express intent.
Yeah, but it will happen.
What if you did it this way? What if they cannot have the photo, but the expert can come into a room where there's a guard, the expert can look at the photo, take notes, cannot take a picture of it, cannot take it with the extra,
if they want
the extra
their opinion,
the room.
I think that's fine. But I think if they want to like see the photos and like look at them, it's bound to get out.
Do they want photos
right.
of the body or photos of the incident as it took place?
No, they want photos of the body.
Autopsies.
Okay.
I tend to think, why is it anybody's business to see these photos? I mean, the guy is dead. The family is in pain. It's not a journalist's job to uncover whether NASCAR is unsafe. Common sense would dictate that going around the track at 240 miles per hour is probably unsafe in itself. And if four drivers have died in the last 9 months, I'm sure NASCAR will take some steps to correct that. And it doesn't require the involvement of journalists.
Are they more likely to take steps if the press puts some heat on them? Mm-hmm.
The press has already put heat on them. They're putting heat on themselves. It's necessary.
Well, they're obviously not having enough heat put on them because it keeps happening. I mean, it's possible. Yeah.
Showing pictures of a dead body is not going to put the heat on them that's necessary to make the changes, though. I mean, it's going to be the reporting on the incident. You know, it's one photo of a dead... I mean, I just think that it's definitely an invasion of privacy that isn't necessary.
Dennis, is it clear whether any of the newspapers intend to publish this photograph?
No, in fact, they report it rather clearly. As I said before, they have their intention is to.
I mean, have they said we will not publish
the release of the photos?
Have they said we will not publish the photo, or have they just said we don't intend?
We don't intend to.
Yep.
Right.
That's different from saying
right.
we won't.
We don't intend to. Well,
right.
Something
the,
else comes up.
The wording was has no intention of publishing
no
the photos.
Intention of
publishing,
yeah.
It was their attorney who said the photos are important because they might reveal what caused Earnhardt's death.
Mm.
And then the other, as I said before, the other thing is that in Florida, granting public access to autopsy photographs is permissible if it's not part of a criminal investigation.
Mm.
So the other feather in their cap is the fact that if it was another state, you know, we might be having this argument.
I guess another question would be, has this happened in the past? Has there been an autopsy photo that news media have obtained access to? You don't have to know. not that you're the expert on this.
Thinking back to who's died recently.
Well, the previous crashes, well, you know, you say they keep having these crashes, so the issue must have come up.
I remember when she first went on, she had the press conference, you see the picture in the top right,
mm-hmm.
her and her son, Bill Earnhardt Jr.
This one here. And he had a crash too, didn't he?
Yeah.
Was he wearing the helmet?
I know,
like,
they put
restraint?
The,
or
what did they do?
Have I gotten it off? That would be interesting.
Yeah, right here.
The third wife. Right here.
Yeah.
They mentioned that it was his third wife.
Yeah, team won the race. Yeah, he did.
The race that he was in with his dad.
He was in it.
They were like neck and neck in the race with his father, right?
I just have a problem with him so just blatantly going against what his family wants. I mean, I understand that. I mean, there are a lot of things in this world that obviously your family wouldn't want to get out, but if you're a criminal, you know, obviously your family's
mm-hmm.
But something like this that's truly painful, I mean, the possibility, just the possibility that this could be published, I mean, yeah, like it says, they stated that they have no intention of publishing the photos.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if it's going to make the story better, what's going to stop them?
There's a danger will get published, number one. Number two, it's not clear to me, I don't know how you feel, it's not clear to me that having someone look at this photo is
right.
going to make any difference, as you said. Whether it's going to put more heat on NASCAR,
I don't. Was looking at the photo.
It doesn't seem clear. It's possible, but it's not. It's not so sure that it would clearly outweigh protecting the family from harm. Let me give you a hypothetical. You know how I love hypotheticals to make it more difficult. Let's say that a photograph would make it possible for police to catch a criminal, right? And they strongly urge news media to
photograph.
Publish a photograph. A photo, not this one. Some other photograph. You know, photograph of a victim of a murder, right? Family is strongly against it. You know, says it will cause a lot of harm. Son says he's going to commit suicide. You know, you can make it as difficult as you want. But the argument on the other side is the police say there's a very good chance we can catch the criminal because someone will recognize the victim and they'll associate. Now it's a much tougher call, isn't it? Because you've got a clear argument on the other side. What do you do? Yeah.
Well, I mean, isn't a criminal case different because then, you know, if it could help, the police could just go to the
But you've got the same thing with the family saying it's going to cause us a lot of harm.
If, like, the court subpoena the photographs from the newspaper and then it doesn't have to be printed, but the police can just look at it. I mean, it seems like.
No, the police want the public to see this.
Oh, they want the public to see it.
They want newspapers to get this picture. because it's a little different because it's not newspapers asking for it, but the newspapers might agree. They might say, well, even if police didn't want us to do it, we still would do it. Then you've got a tough call, don't you?
Yeah, because then, like, there's such a strong argument for minimizing harm to, like, other people in the community who could be, like, hurt by the killer, as opposed to, like, minimizing the harm of the family isn't so important then.
Yeah.
Right, one of those rules, like, the greater good of, you know, the majority of people.
Mm-hmm.
Needs of the many.
Thanks, Beth. That's good. Let's jump to our role-playing game before we get to the reading. Don't spend a lot of time reading these things, but you just want to get the sense as to which one is more newsworthy. You've got two stories. Both these stories broke yesterday, right? The New York Times and CBS got the results of their opinion polls showing that Bush enjoys solid 60% popularity, but about half the public is not so sure that he's really in charge. Some very interesting statistics about his standing. It has great political significance, has great implications for policy. But the other story is that he apparently is breaking up one of his campaign pledges to restrict carbon dioxide emissions, which scientists say is a major cause of global warming. And we'll have two teams. If anything you want to do is say what's wrong with the other team's position, okay? That's your main focus, why the other team is wrong. I guess we can just divide it right here. Kat, you're on that side. Gennaro, you're on that side. You want the poll. The New York Times... Wait a minute. You have to have reasoned arguments, not just physics. New York Times, CBS poll, 50% rating for Bush. Bush says he's going to break his campaign promise to restrict carbon dioxide. One of these two is going to lead the New York Times. The print edition is going to be in the upper right-hand corner of this morning's paper. No fear if you already saw the print edition. And it'll also be the top story on the online edition when they start the day, but of course it'll change depending on what other news breaks. Okay? So just very quickly read through some of the basic facts in these two, and then form your caucuses and prepare really powerful arguments against the other side, why they're wrong in terms of what the New York Times should be doing. What is the duty of the New York Times to its readers, to its profession of journalism, and to the nation, to the good of the nation? And of course, what I gave you is stories by the New York Times. But one of them leads the paper, one of them doesn't.
Sense to have this first one as the cover and then this one as a sidebar showing why.
Which one are you referring to as the first one?
The cover. The approval, the 60% approval.
Yeah, so you would need the paper with that.
Right, and then have this story as a reason as to why there's some disagreement with him as a sidebar, as it's like an offshoot or something, you know, untangent.
The pollution story.
Right.
As a sidebar.
Right.
Okay, well. That's your team, right? You can make that argument. Okay. It's probably better if you do it in secret, though, because you've just given them, you've tipped your hand to it. So you now can prepare very powerful arguments against that idea. Why don't you guys form up your subgroups?
Okay, I don't know. His reversal is like a major move because it's going to change a lot of
Yeah, I mean, they have popularity problems for 65 years a year.
It says in here that it's Vice President Cheney on the first occasion that they mention it, but they don't mention on the first occasion that they mention Bush, that he's President Bush. And then they refer to each of them subsequently as Mr.
But they never mention that Bush is President Bush.
The very first sentence says President Bush.
We're looking at the other one.
Well, the second one.
No, the first one.
Presidential debut. Yeah, that makes him president.
Yeah, but still, it's not like, it's not his title. Because they did that before. They're like Mr. Bush and then Vice President Gore. They're talking about before, during the coverage.
Well, it's an interesting point, but I don't know how relevant it is to this exercise.
We already have such infallible arguments that
beyond.
They really don't have.
You're already beyond.
We give up.
How are you guys doing? We're getting ready. Developing powerful arguments against them, why they're all wet?
No kind.
Oh, okay.
What are you talking about?
And obviously, as part of your argument, is why you're right.
Absolutely.
Okay. Am I ready? You guys
ready? I think so.
Okay. Why don't you face each other, confront each other? Face your venom.
I'm so tired.
Okay, so you guys are the New York Times. You got to decide what the lead is.
You're at a disadvantage, so. We conclude that these percentages of favoring Bush are a dime a dozen. They occur so often that what's more important is a key decision of reversal that Bush made, and by him making this decision, it's going to affect his support anyway. So already this 60% is not correct. It's going to change.
It's old news.
Well, it's old news already, and it's already
out. Let's say hypothetically that your pathetic story would be above the fold. Now, the beginning part of the story makes it kind of biased because Bush in reversal. Bush promised this, but now he's doing this, and it doesn't explain why until much later. So people have to flip to the inside to find out the real reason why he did, which I think is an important part. So it's not really fair to put that on the front page because it's making it seem like for a certain thing, and then later down, it's much later down, it says, like, it talks about California and why he decided to make this decision.
Not an objective news story.
Yeah.
Actually, in Above the Fold, probably in the first three paragraphs of the report, you'll see that he sort of explains why.
Mm-hmm. No, we don't understand why you'd want to, like, put that story when it's, like, old news, because, like, maybe that's
the key issue right now
is the economy.
And we're heading into a recession just like we were when George Bush Sr. was president.
How is this any different than when Senior Bush said, read my lips, no new taxes, and that made the front page?
It's not.
Policy issue
exactly,
changed.
Which is what it goes into in the article, saying how a lot of people think that there is some...
You're giving false information?
...heavy influence. I didn't write this.
Well, by putting it on the front page, you're giving it... By putting it at all...
I think more people right now care about the economy than
Bush's
care about global warming.
But Bush's support is still going to be changed just by his reversal in the carbon, in the emissions of carbon dioxide.
This article doesn't even talk about the economy.
It talks about
everything but the economy.
But I was talking about concern about the economy. It doesn't talk about what we're planning to do about the economy.
Something
that
your article was written on the 13th and ours was written on the 14th, so our poll was taken after
both
are on the front page of today's New York Times.
Right, but the date on here is the 14th, the date on here is the 14th, so the poll
doesn't
was
matter.
Taken
both are on the front page.
That poll was gathered weeks ago.
The other problem with your story is that the Christy Todd Whitman, the EPA director, has not gone on record as actually supporting the president on this issue. So perhaps a clarifying part of the story.
Well, a spokesperson for Ms. Whitman said that they would follow the president's lead.
That means nothing.
But she's not quoted on record as saying what her position is.
That she supports it, so what does that mean?
Well, the point is if this is an EPA, if this is an emissions policy on carbon dioxide...
It's still a story.
It's a story, but it's miscast because what they're actually doing is they're actually repositioning the EPA and giving Bush the lead, whereas in fact they should be talking more about the EPA chairman.
They explicitly
say,
and let's say that Whitman decided for a week that she wasn't going to talk to the press. Does that mean you should just hold off until she decides that she wants to speak? I mean, if the story comes out, you got to run it.
Well, you have environmental groups, you have Congress debating this topic. Really saying that she would follow the president's lead is kind of predictive. It's sort of normal.
I mean, every day you read about quotes from the White House spokesman or press secretary, and you believe that that person is representing Bush. You don't have to wait till you hear a direct quote from Bush to believe what the White House is doing.
It's not saying anything that she's doing except follow the president's lead.
Your energy thing is a little bit incomplete right now because it's so new. So I really don't think that it's the front page because it's just not quite ready.
Bottom line is which story is more important?
They're both
ours. Ours.
Global warming is a very serious worldwide issue.
To who?
When it's 90 degrees out in the middle of winter, it's going to be very serious.
Your story is about carbon dioxide, and I'm sorry if this makes me a bad American.
Not necessarily that it's about carbon dioxide. More importantly, it's about Bush's, change in heart, and that's.
And
ours affects his supporters.
Ours is about how your neighbor feels about Bush.
About the repercussions of that, and it's about the change of policy and how that has affected the opinion of the American people.
Yeah, and we just came out of one of the closest elections ever, and don't you think it's interesting that 60% approve of him and that certain people don't? Like, it says here, Black Americans do not. I mean, don't you want to, read about what people... This is, like...
It would be more interesting after they take into account this reversal.
They did.
They did not.
No, they didn't.
It hadn't happened yet.
I'm still sticking to it.
Because people didn't know about the reversal until this morning when they opened up the New York Times and saw the poll in there and the story about the reversal.
It's probably going to be around 59% now. Plus or minus three.
The environment is an important thing and everything, but I think the majority of Americans probably is not, like, their top. Right now, people are more worried about their jobs.
But that doesn't tell, it doesn't say anything about the job. It just says how they feel about their jobs. Naturally, you assume everyone likes
but
their
job. But it
starts
off well.
Oh, I see.
It's too hot to go to work, then you'll be
recuperating,
right?
You can't have air conditioning because the ozone is totally screwed. So
yeah, but think about all these people in California. Like, if he did do this, then they would have no electricity.
Hey, we're talking about, like, this whole article. It affects people who support, like...
Well, I'm just saying that not everyone's going to be against his decision right here, and this makes it seem like everyone's pissed off at
it. No, it doesn't. It really doesn't. It just says, this is what he did. And then it says why he did it, and it lets you draw your own conclusion.
Consider this. Like, Bush has tons of things coming with the whole Iraq situation, hello, possible war, and then, like, Cheney issue.
Yeah,
and
he might die of heat exhaustion, so I
And the economy thing, I think it's important to know how the country feels about him right now. More important than talking about carbon dioxide.
But how do you think it's going to change because he's going back on what his whole political campaign like represents?
That wasn't his
stuff.
Entire platform.
But
it's not based on this.
I know, but people might have voted for him because of that. The election was so close as it is that this is like a sticky subject.
I don't think this is one of the key issues, though. It really wasn't. The campaign.
But it was one of his issues. I mean, like, if... Like,
I mean, it says right now that he won't see cut in emissions, but, I mean, we're talking in the first couple of weeks of his presidency. 3 years from now, who knows what he might be doing. 2 years from now, maybe it'll be the right time to look for cut in emissions. And then, hey, he'll keep his promise. You really can't say.
So, like,
this is an issue that's been around for a while. It was not a brand new thing that just came up today that we're having environmental problems. So,
right, we know that, but the whole
point
is
his change
of
policies is
right.
Brand new.
So,
which president hasn't gone back on their word? Ever.
This is true. Did that stop them from publishing it? You know, does that stop the papers from publishing it every time?
So what's changed is, like, should we publish then? Are we just going to select, like, oh, only people will care about this one, they may not care about this as much, so let's not publish it, you know? It's important to inform everybody about, the decisions that he's making.
Okay.
I was going to say, it's not a matter of being published or not, it's just a matter of which one's more important. And I think that our story is more important.
I disagree.
We have no ozone layer left. Y'all stories will be more important.
This is the front page of the New York Times, print edition, 60% in fall. And then...
We knew they were stupid.
Here is carbon dioxide.
It's still above the fall.
Told you so.
This is the print edition, and then the online edition... begins with the, you know, the starts today with the 60% poll, and then it's overtaken by the stock market.
Okay.
So that was good. And that was good because you got into the public policy issues. And, you know, what is the duty of the newspaper? Is it always just to do what people are interested in, or does it have an obligation to do some spinach journalism?
What do you think about that?
I think New York Times is wrong, and the Washington Post agrees with me. Washington Post has a big headline. Bush breaks promise on carbon dioxide.
Yeah,
I agree with that. With all due respect to you.
We had to fight.
Of course, your heart wasn't in it, right?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were...
I was clear on that side.
You want to know my opinion why they led with it? Because it's a New York Times CBS poll.
Mm.
If it had been an ABC Wall Street Journal poll...
Did they show that in
here? Oh, yeah.
We kind of guessed that when we were sitting there.
Sure,
we ran that one first.
That would have been
one of
your,
that's gonna
one
back
your
up
arguments that to promote, you know, we paid for this thing and so we want to get a good run for it. Get some promotion. Okay. Now we'll get to our reading for today. Let's start out with a checklist. And if you notice how each chapter starts out with a little introduction, and right away there's a checklist. That's very valuable, not only for the reading, but also for your assignment today, photographs that you brought in. Obviously, you have the same basic conflict that you have in a lot of ethics questions. Just to restate the obvious, what is the basic conflict?
Freedom and privacy.
No, but I mean the bigger terms. It's two big principles.
Car.
harm and
truth.
Truth. Yeah. So once again, it's ultimately a conflict between telling the truth and minimizing harm to people who might be harmed. And then specifically on this checklist, it goes into detail. So what are some examples of the specifics when dealing with photographs? And also, what is it about photographs that requires a whole chapter in this book and, you know, that we're devoting so much time to this one topic? There's something about photographs. Yeah.
The book says that it's important to look at photographs with scrutiny because they're the ones that receive the most letters and criticisms.
All right. Yeah.
The image is what stays in your head. I mean, so you like might glance the first or second paragraph, but the image is what's the most salient to the reader.
Anybody see the Democratic Convention?
Yeah.
What's the picture you remember?
I'm walking down.
We're kissing Tipper.
Oh,
The kiss. Do you remember every word of what he said in his speech? Or any words of what he said in his speech?
Yeah.
But you'll remember that kiss.
Yeah.
Because it's an image. That's an example.
Kiss
him. Yeah.
I think that pictures, too, are oftentimes more serious invasions of privacy than our actual words, because it actually shows the reader, you know, like the actual visual of what happened as opposed to just telling it, you know, through a written account. I think it's definitely more powerful.
Why is that, though? Why does the photograph have more impact?
There's less of the imagination. It's there. You can't self-center it.
If you read a story, you have to choose whether or not you want to believe it. But if you see a photograph, then you accept it as true.
Mm-hmm. Seeing is believing. Of course, nowadays, we're not always sure that what we're seeing is the truth. And we'll get to that in a minute when we get to manipulation. So let's go down this checklist. What are some examples of specifics?
Invading privacy.
But specifically, what does it say?
Am I invading?
In other words, to ask yourself, am I invading privacy? What else? What other?
Is this a private moment of pain and suffering that needs to be seen by our readers or viewers?
Okay.
Does a story tell what I want?
So actually, the Earnhardt photo, you know, that might be an example. Is this something that needs to be seen by our viewers, or is too painful for the family? What else? What else on the checklist?
My acting with compassion and sensitivity,
mm-hmm.
which also goes along with the Earnhardt story.
Okay. Anything else?
Distance, which shows potentially victimizing circumstances of the victim. Or
did you say distance?
Yeah, distance, like how far away the picture.
Oh,
was
how
taken.
Far away the picture
yeah.
taken? Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A close up, really close up, showing really graphic or something
mm-hmm.
that's taking a distance. And minimizing harm.
What about, a lot of newspapers have a policy on no dead bodies. What if the dead bodies are from a great distance? You can't really make out any details. You just see a little dot on the horizon. Does
well,
that change it?
It's not a dead body.
Okay.
It is, but it isn't.
What
in
if it's a little closer so you know it's a dead body? You know me. You know it's a dead body, but you're pretty far away from it.
Well, if you can't identify whose body it is, it's not really so much an invasion of privacy.
Okay. Lots of times, a picture of a body, you don't see the face.
Yeah.
Either it's covered or just the angle. So you just see a form.
Yeah.
So there's the question of the distance. What about, related to that, is how it's played, right? The play of the photograph. What does the book say about that? I think that's in there, isn't it, on the checklist? See it on the checklist or in one of the case studies. Is there anything about how the photograph is played? Questions to ask about how it's
didn't
played?
Didn't it say something like if it was under the fold? It's not in the checklist, but didn't it say something like it's not as harmful?
Yeah, you're right. I think there's another checklist after the first checklist. Page 212. This was the checklist after the campus tragedy.
Instructional value.
Instructional value. Mm-hmm. Is it possible to present the image in such a way that it reflects its instructional value without inflicting undue emotional distress? So present the image. That could get involved in the play, whether it's on the front page, how big it is, so forth. And point four is very important, disclosure. What's that about, and why is that so important? Yeah.
You have to be able to justify why you put the picture in the first place to the readers.
So can you remember from the case studies for today any examples of where there was an explanation that was
Wasn't the middle finger one?
Yeah.
The one paper, a couple of them wrote that right there to the reader on why they printed it, and then there was one that didn't, that got like the most complaints, and the one asked for feedback from all the readers saying their opinions.
Good. So that was published the same time as the controversial photograph, right? Were any others not published at the same time, but later?
Well, this first one, the Ohio University one, I'm not sure if it, I don't think it was on the same day, but there was Editor Explains Use of Photo in the Opinion page, so it wasn't where the picture was.
It was the next edition.
It
did an entire editorial page.
There's some more examples from the case studies. Yeah.
The kid that got shot outside the convenience store, the editor wrote a column. Was it the same day of the paper? I'm not sure. But he wrote a column explaining why they why they
you
ran
can
it.
Actually
the first
see
he
it.
Run it.
You can see the column.
Yeah.
Turn the page. Well, it's in there somewhere.
Yeah, it's right here. Oh, wait. No, that's not it.
I know that it's in there somewhere. I just saw it.
It tells you the bottom of 222 it starts.
That's where he explains.
You don't see that.
Oh, yeah.
You don't see the photo of it.
Well, I know I saw it somewhere. Where did I see it?
Well, you see the Dear Reader one from the the guy with the middle fingers.
Yeah, no, this is it, isn't it?
Page 211. Again, the Ohio University one. See, opinion page, and then on the right-hand column, editor explains use of photo. And that was the next, not the same day, but the next edition. So what's the point of all that? Why is that so important?
It shows that you touch base with the community, let them know that you're being accountable, so they can understand your position.
And what effect does that have on the reader? Would you imagine?
Well, it makes them be like not so outraged, and it makes them have more respect for you and think that you're not just publishing for shock value, but that you actually have a legitimate reason.
Okay. And that you're taking the reader's views into consideration, showing some sensitivity, giving them an opportunity to react, and welcoming their response. Okay. So those are general principles. Now let's go into the specifics. The case study number 30. They had a choice of two photographs, didn't they? What were the two photographs, and why did they chose the one they chose? Yeah.
Well, the one was the photograph that they published was the picture of the body. One of the bodies was covered with a sheet, and I mean it's graphic enough to where you can tell that there's a body and there's blood around the head. But the other shot they were going to use was just pool of blood and a notebook and a sandal. And even though there was no body. Like present in that, I think they chose the other one because it didn't seem as, I guess, invasive. I think that you don't see the face of the body in this picture, and it's further away, and showing.
But you didn't see the face in the other picture either.
Right, but
so why is the other picture? Why is the other picture more disturbing?
All the blood, probably.
Yeah, I think so. The amount of blood.
Yeah, I think like just the fact of like showing. A notebook and something like that, just like remnants. It's really grotesque to me.
Katie?
I think this is something about the thought that the picture of the notebook and the blood would be like sensationalism. I'm trying to find that here.
That's right. This is a close one though, isn't it? I mean, there's a very fine line. one shot of a body, another shot of blood, and they're both pretty gruesome. How do you feel about the decision to run any picture? Yeah.
I just have a question. That wasn't the only two pictures they had, was it?
I think they had to choose between those two. They were on deadline.
Why couldn't they just have shown one of the Jeep after it rolled over? Or
and just told the story about what happened.
They could have. They could have. Would you have preferred that?
Yeah.
Okay. Why?
They had to show one of the from the accident scene.
And why would you prefer that?
I don't know.
Okay.
Because it doesn't. I don't know. I just think seeing dead bodies in the background.
I mean, it bothers you.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I agree that it's bothersome and that would be helpful, but then if you, you know, after the explanation was made, if you look at the letters that they received, I was kind of shocked to think that the reader would, I mean, that somebody would be, excuse me, sent into the newspaper about, if you think about, basically, you know, if you think about how many lives were saved from this, or if somebody thinks of this image, it is upsetting and it is powerful, and that's why they wanted it in there, because once an image like that is stuck in your head, it's there, and then whatever... possibly whatever images were in the photograph or whatever it is can trigger off those images that you have in your mind, and it can prevent something similar from happening.
Instructional value. Yeah.
I mean, they didn't mention it here, but also, like, I think sometimes it hits home more, like, a picture of the students before, and like,
mm-hmm.
a normal picture of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because it shows them, you know, like, and then maybe a picture of the actual car or something like that. Because it sort of, you know, it humanizes you, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at that point, they didn't know who the students were.
Right, I guess. Yeah.
Well, we could jump to the other case history where they did that. Right?
Yeah.
Let's talk about that one.
The one with the young boy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Convenience store, he's...
Yeah. I mean, they showed both.
Although the parents said that they had to show that, or they asked that they showed the picture,
mm-hmm.
so who knows if they would have done
yeah.
that.
Let's sort of go through step by step what the newspaper did in that case, and whether it was ethical or not. What types of decisions and actions were taken by the editor? This is the boy who was killed outside the convenience store during a robbery. Yeah.
Well, initially, the editor was highly against it, and, you know, quote-unquote, no one will run this photo just because it was... fairly inappropriate. It's
mm-hmm.
close up and you see the blood and you see the boy and it's...
Mm-hmm. You don't see his face, right? It's the back
right.
of his head.
It's the back of his head.
Yeah.
But the,
so then why did they change? They already had a policy. No
talked
way.
To the family.
Okay.
And they got input and said, yeah. And actually, the family was the one who said that, yeah, if you would do some positive good, then...
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was the reporter or the photographer. Which one was it?
Yeah, I don't know whether the family was the first.
No.
Please,
but certainly the. Now, you know what I'm going to ask you next, right? What if the family had said no?
Mm-hmm.
You know me, right? That's a typical Collins question.
No way.
Family says no. You say, okay, we don't run the picture. Just for the sake of argument, somebody disagreed. You don't have to personally agree with that, just to advocate the position. Yeah.
You're an independent paper and you've decided already that you want to run the photo because it's going to affect people and it's going to make people understand the context of the murder more, and so it's going to be serving the public good by showing this photograph, and so you should show it anyway.
What are the concerns with him being a minor? Like, don't parents have to give permission for minors to appear in newspapers? I know that's...
Well, I mean, the purpose of that is to protect someone who later in life, you know, doesn't want to have this shadow hanging over them. Unfortunately, this young person is dead, so the fact that it's a juvenile doesn't matter. Right? There are no implications for the future. Unfortunately, this person doesn't have any further life that's going to be affected. The people affected are the families. Right? You don't have an issue of withholding the name of a juvenile for the usual reason. You might have for some other reason.
Are there any legal actions you could take if they did it and you didn't want them to?
No. First Amendment. I mean, you could try, you know. I think you'd have a lot of trouble. And the newspaper would argue what? Let's suppose it did come to it, right? Family says pain and suffering, you owe us $10 million. What would the newspaper say in court? Just to follow along on what you were saying, just to take it one step further. I mean, they would say more than just what you said. They would say, and it has great value because, what is the great value?
I don't know. In front of the public?
In front of the public, in order to do what?
Potential
future problems?
Yeah. To warn people how serious the problem is. It's a crime problem. Maybe, you know, more can be done to fight crime. Maybe the police need more money, right? But there are all kinds of policy implications. Yeah.
I'm not sure if I agree with the photo or not. I'm still kind of debating. But, and one of the things is
I mean, sad as this is, in almost every paper you can read about someone being gunned down outside a convenience store or some similar such thing for no particular reason.
That's a very good point.
And so this time, you actually have something to go with it, and so I think this one, it makes it hit home a lot more because you actually see it and you're like, oh my God, as opposed to just reading about it. But I still like the off-graphic photo, so I'm just not really sure how I feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
They did also decide to put it in black and white, not color. It's one of the decisions that they made.
And they included the photograph of him, the nice picture of him, young man. And another picture. What's this third picture that they raised? What effect does that have by including that on the front page?
That affects the parents, I think, a lot. You know, look at her sitting in his bedroom,
mm-hmm.
if he's not there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got his old, like, stuffed M&M thing on there. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very moving, isn't it? Okay.
What made the New York Times such a color?
I don't know. I think they at the time they said that, you know, this is what other newspapers are doing and they can't fall behind. And USA Today and Washington Post, I don't know. I'm not so crazy about the front page of New York Times being in color. I can see stuff inside being in color. If the New York Times decided to run a photograph of a dead person for some legitimate reason, then they'd have to make a really tough decision about color or not. They've got the picture in color, are they going to run it in color? That would be a tough decision. Okay, case study 31. This man apparently slipped and fell, right? Regardless why he got on top of this tower, once he was there, he slipped and fell. That's a fact. It's not clearly suicide. He may have intended suicide or wasn't sure, whatever. But you can't say for sure this man was committing suicide at the moment he fell. That's the fundamental fact. Well, how does that impact on the decision whether to run the pictures or not? Yep.
Well, they had a policy on no running suicides.
Right.
And this
isn't clearly a suicide.
Right, so they weren't sure.
So it's okay.
But I just wanted, my personal opinion on these pictures, what I think is interesting is that there's no story to go along with the pictures. There's a caption, and I think it's wrong because this makes it sensational. And this is merely, I want to sell this paper by putting somebody falling off a tower
on it. They're saying, gee whiz, we've got this picture. Not, here's what you need to know to understand the circumstance. Yeah.
I agree. I think they're making a case to sell papers, and because they're not quite sure, you know, that it was an accident, I think they're sensationalizing it. I agree.
Okay.
I wouldn't have run it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why it's okay to show accidental deaths but not suicides. Like, why is that their policy or whatever anyway?
That's a very good question. Anybody have any idea? Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, I would have shown this, but I would have run it with a story because it is a newsworthy event, but without a story, it looks like it's just like some evil Knievel stunt or something that the newspaper's advocating.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know the story, though, right? There's
they could They could say all kinds of things. You know, they could talk about what the security conditions were at the tower, what new precautions are being taken. I mean, there's all kinds of reporting you can do. But let's come back to this question. If you had to speculate, what would be the reason for not running a picture of a suicide?
Copycat.
Okay. Anything else?
Glorifying. Yeah, I was going to say something similar to that. Like, they have the runaway teen policy we read about, like, not running that. I think even with suicide, two people think, well, then my name will be known, like, people will finally pay attention to me.
Oh, that they'll
like,
do it
once
in order,
I'm
to,
dead.
Get, in order
yeah.
to get attention. In fact, there's a reference to a man in Pennsylvania. You see that? Who committed suicide in order to get attention. What was the decision made by news organizations what to do? That story. I'm pretty sure that's in the. Is that in the reading for today?
Just because people heard about it or hearing about it. So that so many people were there and everybody was interested in it, so we'll run it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as far as the suicide, the difference between the suicide and whatever, because of copycat things, they were concerned about that and they still ran it. And they were concerned about the fact that even if it wasn't a suicide, people might try to climb up in that tower.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that's... And to show that picture.
That's an issue whether or not it's a suicide.
It's
an issue
whether or not it's a suicide, but...
Yeah.
I mean, they ran it and you're facing the same exact problem.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless if it was a suicide or not.
Yeah. Isn't suicide a sin in some religions? I think in the Catholic religion, right?
Yeah.
I don't know about other religions. So that could play a role, too. You know, this is something very terrible, and also it's extremely personal. It's a tragedy. I mean, it's this... There's lots of issues connected with it, there could be a time. Well, we'll be an example of where a news organization could publish a photograph of somebody committing suicide, even if they had a policy against it. It might be. Yeah.
It was a terrorist situation or something like that.
Somebody's being held hostage and they kill themselves.
Like,
is that what you mean?
No, like if a terrorist or.
A terrorist
like
kills himself?
Yeah.
Like bombing.
Oh, okay. I see. A political
like
suicide. Political
yeah.
suicide. Okay, that's a good example. Yeah.
Cults.
Yeah,
cults.
Cults.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you know, if you're like a Dr. Dvorkian type thing, if you're killing yourself because you're sick or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you're a public official where you serve the public in some aspect and you're not going to be doing that anymore,
obviously, if the President of the United States commits suicide, you have a picture of it.
Yeah.
Pretty hard to say, well, we have a policy or we don't publish.
What about like a senator or somebody, or
I was going to say president, but maybe that's a little rush. I mean, it's somebody like that, like a senator or a governor, somebody who's.
Yeah. And then where it gets more difficult is where you go down,
yeah.
you know, to less important.
Right.
Less important. What if the person. Like a Kevorkian type situation, and they say, I want my picture to be used because I think this will help the cause of euthanasia.
Negative.
Because?
You would be supporting one side.
Right, and you're being manipulated by the person. On the other hand, you know, CBS did it, 60 Minutes. They ran a video of a man committing suicide with the help of Dr. Kevorkian. Yeah.
With the time in L.A. with
the guy on the freeway?
The bank robbery with the guy's assault weapons and the guy who shot himself to the head.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've ever seen those photos all through the L.A. news.
Yeah.
There was one in Detroit, too, where a guy was going to shoot himself and there were a bunch of cops. I think it was Detroit. Yeah, there were a lot of cops around.
Mm-hmm.
And then they didn't show it on the television when he shot himself in the head, but they had it on tape, and then they were showing the cops' reaction and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so in other words, they probably showed before and after, right?
Right, they didn't show that. They
trying to talk him out of it, and then the aftermath. But they also have the tape of the actual moment.
Right.
And they choose not to show it.
Right.
Okay. There was also a guy on a freeway in Los Angeles, and he...
I don't remember that.
I think he shoot himself? But it was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and one of the stations, the NBC affiliate, showed it live, and there was a big controversy about it because children are watching.
Yeah.
In the afternoon,
he shot his dog and then shot himself.
Oh.
I don't know. But I
totally remember that scene, but I don't remember what happened. It was on this like bridge and like, you know, kind of running.
Yeah, but it was a very strong reaction by the public afterwards to the decision to run this live. Okay. Number 32. We talked about the editor saying, "Dear reader," and explaining why to run the photograph. How do you feel about the decision to run this photograph? Not every newspaper ran it, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Sacramento Bee did not publish it. Who do you think's right? Yeah.
I think the people that didn't run it were right.
Uh-huh.
Because like they said in here, I mean, his crime speaks for itself, so us seeing this is not showing us any more than, oh, he's such a bad man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I agree also because of the fact that children see this, and I'm sure parents wouldn't want them to see this, or for them to emulate this behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You talking about television or the newspaper?
No, the newspaper.
Okay. Because the newspaper's going to be on the coffee table?
Yeah, it's on the front page.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it's everywhere on the newsstands.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they pass the newsstand and see it.
Yeah. I agree 100% that it should have been run, but if it had to have been run, I think they did it the best way possible. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could have been on the inside, or just like had a picture of them and had it on the inside to avoid
that. How about
that.
Somebody arguing in favor of it?
I think you should run it. I think it just shows what a moron this guy is, and it emphasizes the type of person that he is. I think if anything, I mean, everybody knows, what the middle finger is.
What about Gennaro's argument that we already know that he's a terrible person? Mm-hmm. Right? That's what you were saying?
Mm-hmm. We do, but I think it emphasizes it even more.
Okay. Yeah.
I thought it was good, too. I especially liked what, I believe, what the executive editor did, how he's like, listen, this is what went into deciding whether or not to publish this photo. I want to know what you think. And, gave his, his fax number, his phone number, and his email address, and actually told people. It wasn't just this is how we feel. He's please,
mm-hmm.
give me some feedback to let me know what you think. And I thought that was a good thing. So people
Julie,
who were upset could raise their opinions.
Oh, I was just gonna say, it's a good. I think it's fine that they ran it because some people, if they just read the story and think, oh, he got life or whatever, they might start feeling sympathetic for him for some
mm-hmm.
reason. But then
mm-hmm.
this just.
But they might think that he's remorseful.
Right.
Sometimes people are remorseful in a situation like that. Yeah.
Just if anyone knows the circumstances of this case, I mean, when you look at this man and look at his face and look at his contempt for the justice system and what he did for this girl, it's just so necessary to publish this photo to capture the true essence of what a sick human being he is, if we can even call him human. I mean.
Well, I remember this. Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I just feel that. It's not going to, I can't imagine people even involved in the case being hurt by it any more than what they've already been. They're just going to hate him more, and or if they could hate him more.
What if the newspaper devoted the entire front page to this photograph? That would be too much.
That's too much.
What if they ran, tiny little thing where you can barely make out?
I don't know. I just personally...
That would be the other extreme, right?
Right. I feel just looking at this...
So it's really a question of degree, isn't it? You want to put on the front page if you feel that this picture needs to be published.
Because I think it just sums up everything, entire...
You also try to put it in a certain perspective and not too big, not over-sensationalized.
Mm-hmm.
Very quickly, case study 34, abortion protests. The bottom line is children normally are not identified, but in this case, the parents were putting them up, putting them out there, and so it became a legal question. So it's an exception to the rule. Case study 35, photo digital cover-up, very important. This issue is extremely important. I'm sorry they don't have more case studies like this, because this is becoming a really big problem now because of new technology. Anybody see the movie Rising Sun? Sean Connery movie, remember? So it's all about manipulating an image on a security tape.
Leslie Snipes?
Yep. The pixels and the electronic photograph that you can, all they are is little electronic bits, and you can manipulate them very easily. In this particular case study, it had to do with covering up the woman for modesty, but there are other examples where it's much more controversial. Anybody know there are others mentioned here, or do you happen to know of any others where the pictures have been manipulated and people aren't told about it? Yeah.
Wasn't there one with the OJ case?
Sure. Time Magazine. Time Magazine ran the mugshot of OJ and darkened his face.
Oh, I remember that now.
Darkened his face deliberately. And then later there was a big protest, and they said, well, this wasn't really a photograph, it was a photo illustration done by an artist. But the problem is they never said that. They never said we've changed his appearance intentionally. So that's one of the rules. Number one, don't manipulate a photograph. And two, if you do, don't call it a news photograph. Call it an artist's interpretation and clearly tell the reader, we have manipulated this photograph. Did you have your hand up, Katie?
I was just going to give another example.
Yeah.
National Geographic moved one of the Great Pyramids so it could fit on the cover.
Right. I'll tell you some others very quickly. The AP distributed a picture of somebody winning the spelling bee in Washington, the National Spelling Bee. And participants wear a number on a sign with a number on it, and the name of their sponsor. The winner was sponsored by, I think, the New York Daily News. The New York Post removed part of the sign, so it didn't say New York Daily News. It just said, you know, the number 12. And the AP protested, saying, this is an AP picture. You cannot fool around with our picture. And it was clearly done, you know, for business reasons. They don't want to give free publicity to their competition. Yeah.
I saw something in Sports Illustrated a few weeks ago, speaking of NASCAR, that Fox Television blocked out some of the sponsors' names on cars because they had network, the network had competitive sponsors. That,
that's right.
So,
and New Year's Eve at the time of the millennium, Dan Rather, CBS, is in Times Square, and the NBC Jumbotron is electronically changed so you don't see NBC anymore. And they don't tell the viewer that they've done this. We're running out of time, but I want to get to your pick. Let's see how many pictures we can do, and then we'll do the rest next time. Also, before I forget, let me give you your assignments for Monday. Since the reading in Doing Ethics is covers sources, once again, I want you to get a news story and identify the sources for each item in that news story, especially anonymous sources. And keep looking until you find a story. I think some of you last time couldn't find anonymous sources. Keep looking. Eventually, you'll find, especially stories from Washington, you'll find, you know, one administration source said, one White House source said. Keep looking until you get one of those stories. And then start asking the questions that are on page 266, the checklist for treatment of sources. Okay?
266.
Page 266 of Doing Ethics, the checklist. Sources. Yeah.
Oh, you want me? Okay.
Yeah.
Mine's from Newsweek. It's a story on mad cow disease.
Okay.
What I think is interesting about this picture is, well, I don't think this is very interesting. It's just a state saying caution. But what I think is interesting is that when they start the story, it has these pictures of families, of victims, of people who died from mad cow disease and stuff. But then once you get into it, they start having these great pictures of these cows. And this one isn't even, this doesn't say anything about the cow. It's like this cow without a head on a, on like a, it's kind of gross.
Yeah.
it is not, there's no caption at all. It just has this picture. It's kind of weird. Then, wait, hold on, there's more. Then it has them burning the cows on the next page.
That's what I have.
And then.
How many others have? Mad cow.
And then there's more. Then they have stripped heads in this tiny picture without skin.
Don't look if you're.
I'm
so what do you think that they had in mind?
I think it's kind of shock value. This picture especially. Mm-hmm. I think this is a strip shock. But I mean, without having
the one would be an argument in favor, saying, you know, that there is a legitimate journalistic purpose.
Show that they're really doing something about it and getting rid of them. Releasing it all into the air.
Yeah.
Show the severity of the problem.
Yeah. Okay. How about a non-mad cow disease story?
I've got, this is a photo of one of the funeral of one of the kids that died in the school shooting.
Can you hold it up again?
This is his actual funeral. There's a couple different ones. So there must have been like a reporter in there. This
okay.
is like his mother standing at his casket with the picture above it. Mm-hmm. And there's ones of like his family crying, of like just the pastor in front of the casket giving a eulogy. Mm-hmm. And it's just like an obvious invasion of privacy. Like there's no reason for us to see his funeral to know that they were mourning. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Picture of what?
A stripper's leg.
Stripper's leg, okay.
And it was in the, it was a front like page story, but the picture is like way behind. Eight or something.
So what?
Yeah,
for shock value. Why do you think they, I mean, in addition to the shock value, what's it supposed to illustrate? What point is it supposed to make?
It's not like a stripper law in Alabama, but...
Oh, it's about a law.
It's about a law, but I don't think it was necessary.
Okay. On grounds of taste, or...
Yeah.
Is it
I just got permission to the others. I thought it was really interesting. This is not normally a color daily, and they got Ellerby here in black and white.
Wonder why.
And I was really curious about that.
Can I say why?
Oh.
Someone messed up. Someone messed up the zipping, and I spent several hours consoling the staff.
It was just an error.
Yeah.
Maybe there should have been some little explanation.
You wouldn't know until it printed out the next morning that it was going to be black and white.
My brother's saying this is LRD from yesterday, and I just thought, you know, it makes him look like he's about to start crying in the picture. I don't know, it's kind of, I think, it seems like an unfair picture for him. There's some head in the back.
Was this picture manipulated? Because the person in the background, it looks like something's been done to the image.
Yeah, the face is
again. It has a theatrical look, doesn't it? Yeah, no.
I haven't heard about it.
Let me hold it up.
It's so
hold it up so everybody can see it.
It's like he's in the spotlight.
Also, look at this here. When I saw this picture, I thought it had been manipulated
or... It's at a press conference. I'm assuming it's at a press conference, which are pretty much...
It might have been that this is just the way the picture happened.
Was it taken by a daily person? Or
I think I saw the same picture.
David Katz.
I was reading Friday yesterday, and I saw
that
it was a fairly similar picture.
Uh-huh.
I think it was the same.
But I mean, look at here. It's so smudged, it looks like somebody is manipulating.
That kind of picture, usually, you show pictures like that when people are in mourning because someone has died. Like, I think it's funny that we show for Albert
being here. We can do a couple more, yeah.
Mine is the article is about the police raids in LA, and the one picture is of these two men that lived in one of the houses, and they look kind of mad because their house was raided, and it's supposed to be like the police were like, we're going to show you gangs about drugs and everything, and it was the police were in the wrong, and then there's a picture of one of the officers with his wife next to a picture of him in his little outfit on the wall. And these are the only two pictures, and it makes it, then there's a little quote about how, I didn't know I was in the wrong because I'm a rookie, and nobody told me I was going out of control. So I think, like, as for, the picture telling a story, it makes the police officers, it's okay, because, he didn't know, and I don't know.
So what would have been a better picture?
Maybe, like, the damage that was done to the house, because that was the main point, was that these police officers just busted in and just totally destroyed these houses, trying to, put the gangs in their place with drugs, and when it wasn't a gang or there were no drugs there, and...
So they got the wrong house.
Something like that, and it doesn't come across like that at all.
That's good, yeah.
Well, I have the same story, but maybe just having a picture of just, two black men, maybe, I don't know if they've two pictures that does not include... pictures of actual people just of the damage to be less stereotyping of like.
So that gets into diversity issues we talked about earlier. Who else have we got?
Professor.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I got this picture, and this is the picture of the guy that was school shooting in California.
Okay.
And it kind of made me mad because it's like this big picture of him. But then, like, on the next page, it's like these little pictures of the victim, and then another big picture of him.
Mm-hmm.
And you want a close-up, too.
I have pictures from the shooting, too, and they just, here, the picture they have of him, I think, is him being taken away at the school, and then they have, like, these pictures with other students.
So it's the opposite. The victim is large, and the,
and then
the
on
killer
the next
is small.
Page, they show one of the, I mean, this guy, was, I think it's shot in the show the police and firefighters going into the school.
So if you had to choose between the two, as to which picture is larger, which picture is smaller, which do you prefer of these two? The killer larger or the victim larger?
Victims.
But it depends on the story.
Does the story
concentrate
more on the
killer?
I think
with that one, because of the way that the killer, he's like pictured, I mean, maybe it sounds terrible, but he did something really, really bad. And I mean, he looks terrible. No, I mean, and he looks like evil in that picture, as far as I'm concerned. And like, just to like intrude on these girls like they did and close up on their faces, like sob.
I don't know if I like this one.
I think that's terrible.
Yeah.
I think especially because, a lot of states there's, like, questions of whether, like, these shootings by younger kids, if they should try the kid as a child or an adult.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you see the full page of that kid with that evil look in his eyes, that, you think that he's got to go to jail and he should be tried as an adult,
time to talk about it now, but remind me next time, when there's a choice of pictures of somebody, one where they look positive, one where they look negative, which one do you choose and why? And is that fair? Somebody remind me.
Okay.
Next time.
I know you guys are in a hurry, but I'm really considering
just a release?
Yeah.
Well, definitely sign the release so that they can use your voices.
You mentioned the disgusting inside in the paper, and I was curious because like I was planning on doing it anyways, but like ethically, like does the motion pictures relate to like journalism in terms of?
No, I just think it's interesting.
Like the portrayal of it.
Yeah, you don't have to make a big deal out of
it.
You can just say that.
Yeah, there's a few points I wanted to make.
Public interest in this subject, for example. A whole movie was made about
it. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Let me show you my picture. This is about 8 years time to take some chairs. They had
tears. Yeah,
it's
like
right in. Yeah, it's a big fire fire. It's just like that. In fact, they caught this guy's hand. It's blown off.
Can you bring it in next time?
Sure.
Because I think it's worth talking about.
Yeah,
just remind me.
Sure.
We're actually going to try and go ahead and we're doing an international.
Do you want me to sign a release also?
Do
you need me to sign a release also?
Would you mind just
sure.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Gennaro, do you buy anything? Can I email it to you?
Yeah, email it or however you want. But I can't sign an email here.
No,
we'll come here. I'll send it back to you. You just tell me where I send it.
Yeah, can I have your email address?
Actually, yeah, I would.
It's my last name.
Are you seeing
never
have
one before? We're doing an international promotion.
Thank you so much.
We're an international team promotion. And the syllabus said that this was a German class. But I asked them when they said journalism.
Yeah, I just
I
know! Would you like one?
So you were dressing up for a German?
Yeah, the syllabus said I was a German, unless it gotten changed.
So next time you'll have to dress as a journalist.
Yeah.
Dennis with one N.
No, I have a little
last name is N-A-R A-N J-O. English. Flint, Michigan.
And are you a master's undergraduate?
Senior communications.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good luck
in
your work.
Okay. So we had some money over stuff going on there.
Huh?
We had some money over stuff going on there.
These microphones are able to pick up everybody's voices, even
unbelievably,
wow.
Yeah. But it does. It does a really good job of that.